God is taking deeper. Oh, Lord, take me deeper. He's been doing that. We have some that have been on a retreat and have experienced some good things, and we'll give them a few minutes to share with us. The offering. Hallelujah. Friday night I said the pastor would be back with us. I'm not sure I understand all the details, but he's trying to get flight on standby and things aren't working out for him, and I'm sure he'll be here by camp meeting. You needn't be alarmed. But things haven't worked out at the present hour, and so he's still, I guess it's everybody coming back and the flights are full undoubtedly this time of year, so going to wait a few more days before he's able to be back with us.
And I hope this morning that God would open up your heart and take a veil off your eyes to see Him and to also see maybe a cause of why many miracles are not being done. So I believe in miracles, and I'm seeing them. And there shall be many that take place before your eyes. And there shall be many things that are happening in this year. Not because I say so, but because this is a year of a visitation of the Holy Spirit to the church. And God's going to visit this church, and God's going to call men, and God's going to call women, and join them in a dominion with Him, in an outflowing of His love and His compassion to the world. He's going to reveal Himself to us this year in a greater way. John chapter 3, verse 8, I believe in miracles. You might wonder at first why the name of this particular message is that, but as we go on, you'll see. I believe in miracles. We've got to have them. I mean, it's got to happen. John chapter 3, verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. And so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And so is everyone that is delivered of the Spirit. And so is everyone that is baptized of the Spirit. And so is everyone that is transformed of the Spirit. And so is everyone that is healed of the Spirit. The wind blows. At one point there's no wind, and suddenly a breath out of heaven. And someone's saved. And someone's healed. And someone receives from God. And the winds of God blow upon the earth. Men are always trying to figure out exactly why and where they come from and break them down into specifics. But the key point is that God wants you to know is that the winds will blow. If you look for them. If you look for the winds of God to blow, they'll blow. They will blow. He said to him, but thou canst not tell. And man will never fully understand the love of God. Man will never fully understand how God just moves. How He just loves. How He does the things that He does. Until you know Him. It's not so much that you just believe in Him, or you believe things about Him or things that He'll do, but that you know Him. That He's a certain type of a being. And He's a certain type of a God. And when you know Him, the winds will blow. You say, well, brother, no, the winds will blow. When we are in that knowledge of God, they just blow. Because the way He is demands of His nature to breathe and to blow and to move all the time in one way or another. That's who God really is. The power of God belongs to Him alone. Psalm 62, verse 11 and 12. God hath spoken once. Twice have I heard this. Once was not enough. Sometimes 100 times is not enough. That power belongeth unto God, not unto man. The power does never belong to man. Never. That power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. But what do we do? Don't we have our part? Obedience, faith, prayer, fasting, holiness, humility, heart for souls, and so on and so forth. Zechariah 4:6. You can read that one. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Now Zerubbabel was asking God about two witnesses. He was asking God about something that was, you know, going to happen later on. He wanted a certain knowledge about a certain thing. And he didn't know the answer. He said, "One of these, my Lord," in verse 4. Verse 5, "The angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying," this is rather unusual, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth a headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it." Strange answer. But later on in the chapter, he asked him again. But God wanted to make a point first about himself. There would be a fundamental, foundational understanding in Zerubbabel, whose name means descendant of Babylon. And have we all not been descendants of Babylon to this day? See, there's something he wants us to understand. You see, I'm finding out there are just certain things, if you understand just certain things, though you might not see me jumping up and down over it or full of emotion on of it, yet great things happen because of the knowledge of certain things. When men are in certain places, when they know certain things about God, when they know certain principles of how things operate, that will bring God and a lot of things faster than anything else. See, there's a knowledge of him. Now, the word might means force, and the word power means force. One means a force, might. One means force. By that I mean, power means not by power, or I have something. I possess something. Not by the fact that you and I have something, and not by the fact that you and I possess something, but by his spirit. And might means, you know, I do something. I produce something through my exertion. That's what the basic meaning of these two Hebrew words is. Not by what I have, and not by what I possess, and not by what I do, and not by what I can produce through exerting myself and praying and fasting and this and that and all this. Not by that, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And our part? What's our part then? For surely some of you would say, "Well, brother, miracles. Men fasted, they wept, they prayed, they climbed mountains to be alone with God. Surely the price to pay." And I admit there's a price. But there's an understanding that will help you pay that price a lot easier. If you have this understanding, there'll be miracles. I guarantee you. I guarantee you. The basic fundamental understanding for us is this. "And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it." In other words, God stands back and God sees the mountain on the plain. He sees the mountain in front of the church. He sees the mountain in your life. He sees those mountains in your life. He sees the mountains to bring about the unity of the faith. He sees the mountains to bring about the unity of the spirit before that. He sees all these things and obstacles, and God says, "I," listen to him, "this is the word of the Lord unto you, descendant of Babylon. Who art thou, O great mountain?" Who are you? From God's perspective, it's nothing. God's already committed to removing the mountain. God has already committed to deliverance. God has already committed to this gospel bringing forth fruit in the earth. God has already committed to miracle power. God has already committed to power and unction and glory and all the works. God has already committed. Already. Already. But we, shoutings, and that word means a clamor. A crashing or loud clamor, as if somebody's just shouting and crying out for something. Grace. grace. It's a revelation. As we go on, you'll see it. Graciousness. See, God told Zerubbabel, you don't understand. I have the kingdom, and I have the power, and I will use you to lay the foundations. I will use you to finish the house. I will use every descendant of Babylon. I will use every man. I will use man, but I have the kingdom, and I have the power, and I have the glory. It is all mine, and there is nothing that will stand before me if you will know that about me and cry out to me to manifest my grace, my beauty, my favor, my graciousness, and my mercy to this world. If you would be rooted and grounded in the way I feel about that mountain and the way I feel about this world, and you would know how I really feel and be convinced of that, that's how it will happen. And that's your part, fundamentally. That's your part. That is your part. That is my part. Legalism has destroyed the simplicity of receiving good gifts from the Heavenly Father. And men and women who don't know their God do no exploits, for they don't know their God. Now, but Savonarola prayed, and because he knew his God. Nobody's going to spend hours and hours and hours praying to someone who's not going to do anything. What a silly thing to do for works, not for other people. Spend hours agonizing for God to do something in the earth, you know, just so he gets a few rewards in heaven. No one's going to spend that kind of time. Unless you really believe, and you know what? How many of us spend that time? It's not because we don't think we can spend the time. It's because we don't know him. It's a revelation. See, if you know him, you come boldly to the throne of grace, and you cry out for help in time of need. And you, and the more you know his love, and the more you know how he feels, the more you're in a position before God for the Holy Ghost to move through your life. Because you're looking to God and lost in the revelation of God. And every time you see God's face, you see tears. You see hatred for the devil. You see hatred for sin. You see tears of compassion. You see longing. You see all these things about God. All the time he's like this. All the time. The problem is we're looking here, we look there and believe. Believe. Just know. Well, how do you know? Jesus showed you. And those that know do exploits, don't they? And those that don't, don't. See, that's how God will more readily use you and your family and in your marriage and in the world. When you see God's heart for them, when you see what God goes through, when he becomes a person to you and I, who has a feeling, a desire, an emotion about things, a will, a purpose, and a plan. See, everybody's trying to find the qualifications and always try to say, well, where is it? But you just keep looking at him, and the wind will blow. The wind will blow. I'll give you an example. The other day, I have to train this guy for this job I'm leaving. And so, he gets in the truck. So I want to win him to Christ. So first thing that happens, you know, he's nothing to do with it. So I said, Lord, I know you love this man. You love this man. You care for this man. You ache for this man. You love him. I'm looking to that wind. I'm waiting upon you, Father. You know, we're not going to let him get out of this truck without pouring out your love upon him, Lord. I'm committed to it. I don't know what you're going to do, but I want you to at least be yourself. The next couple of days. You just be yourself. I don't know the outcome, and I'm not depending on me, and it doesn't do anything for my ledger book. I could care less. I want you to do something because of who you are. In other words, when you're looking at God and he's wanting to do something, it's pretty terrible just to say, well, you know, I mean, find someone else if they want, I mean, you know. God's up there aching for this guy. See, but he really is. And that's what the devil wraps from us, that he's not really aching for that guy. And he's not really aching for your brother. And he's not really aching for the lost. He's not really aching. He's aching all the time. All the time. And when we're in that, something happens to you immediately. Really, really. So anyway, I went on a few days, and I did not think this guy was going to give his life to Christ. Not this week. You know, I didn't think that. So we were closing up one day, and I had to get back, and he was sitting there, and he just ejaculated out some phrase like, Well, see how God's so just, blah, blah, blah. I was silent for about 7 hours that day. I never said a word to him. You know, he just ejaculated out this thing, you know, just... So I looked at him, you know, and I said, you know, I said, I want to close up and, you know, go home, you know. So I said, well, no, I felt expensive. Well, no, I'll just start talking to him. And all of a sudden, the presence of God came in that truck. And immediately I sensed the presence of my father. And I knew that something was going to happen. I just sat there, and he was sitting on the dashboard just about, right in front of an office. And people were driving by trying to get around the truck, and they were parking a certain way, and they could get by and look at what's going on in the truck, and the guy was glued to the seat. And I'm just, you know, I don't know what to do. So I said, I think I'm going to pray for you. You don't mind if I pray for you? No. I'm getting close. I'm getting close. I'm going to think about it. I'm not going to be manipulated. I'm not manipulated by people. But there's something going on. You talked to me the other day, and I felt like I was walking 6 feet off the floor. I don't know what was going on, you know? Something's happening. I know that. I said, something's happening. You know, God loves you. God wants you. That's what's happening. Well, you know, so I prayed for him. I couldn't get my hand off him, you know? I prayed a short prayer, and I just said, would you like to give your life to Christ? What do I got to do? So he gave his life to Christ on the dashboard. I think I turned the engine off. Wisdom, saving gas, you know. But it's like, you know, he gave his life to Christ. Now, within a day or two, this guy's really got to make some commitments. And he might be here this morning. He had to make some real commitments to walk with God, really. I mean, he was right in the fire at the start. And, you know, and I was, you know, didn't know what to do. And about the second day after that, he's very skeptical. Very skeptical. I can see it. He's skeptical and, you know, he was having a bite to eat, and he's just, you know, he's just really, you know. So I just said, oh, Lord, you brought him in, I'm going to keep him in. Father, I know you love this man. I know, dear God, I know, but I can't believe he's not going to move. The devil, he always moves to give people thousands of reasons to leave. Can't you move? I know you can. See, the devil's always giving his flack all the time, giving his proofs, giving his miracles. But where be our God? So he said, he goes to the register, he goes, well, this is on that big freeze, you know, freezing cold outside, you know. And then he goes, I'm going to go to a doctor today. He said, I've had this thing for years. I said, I just drive me crazy, my back and stuff like that. So I look at the register and I turned to him, I said, I smile, the gospel of healing. Praise the Lord. I said, brother, would you like me to pray for you? You got nothing to lose. My God loves you. He looked at me like, I said, we can find a chair in here. It was Denny's. We could find a chair in here, you know, but I smiled at him, you know. He just was horrified, you know. So we walked outside, and I said, well, I'll tell you what. Let me pray for you. You got nothing to lose. This guy didn't believe. He wasn't full of faith. In fact, he told me that very morning. He said, sometimes I think you're just going to disappear. This whole thing's not real. I think you're just going to disappear, you know. I looked at him, oh, flesh and blood, food, kids, wife, no, I'm all there, I'm all there. No, brother, God loves you, it's all real, you're going to see. So anyway, I went out to the truck, opened up the door, it's freezing outside, it's cold, under 10 at least, you know. I said, well, we got to get you to sit down, so maybe your back's out, maybe let me pray for you. And also, he sat him down, measured his legs about an inch and a half off, you know. So I said, well, so I looked at him, and just smiled at him, because I know him. I'm beginning to know him more and more and more and more. He loves me. He loves me. So I said, well, Jesus loves you. He's going to heal you. And he just looked at me. Now, I'm going to pray for you. And he was still, I thought, so do you see that? Yeah. It's off, isn't it? Yeah. So I prayed for him and nothing happened. You know. You know what I did first? I looked to see where he was sitting. Not that, oh no, he let me down. Never thought of it. I looked at where he was sitting. He was sitting about a foot out, 9 inches out of the thing. I said, oh, you got to sit all the way back. You sit all the way back. We dropped the legs, you know, and they were way off. I looked at him and said, in Jesus' name be healed. Pop! That fast. That guy looked at his leg, couldn't speak. Got back in the truck. I said, Jesus loves you. Yes. So all I kept telling him, Jesus loves you enough to heal you. Let's thank him. He never played before. See? So we go on a little bit, you know, and stuff, and he said, I felt a muscle stretch. The leg really grew out. I saw it happen. There's no one can tell me it didn't happen. He got behemoth. He got really into this thing. I said, of course, he loves you. Many such things he will do, because he loves the world. We just don't know it enough yet. And so we were going to go to the next couple of stops. I didn't know. So he's looking through my box, you know, and it was a Bible there. So I said, you can have that Bible, you know, not the Bible. You can have it. You know, yeah, here, read something. And that's where he stayed the rest of the day, sitting on the dashboard, reading the Word. Reading the Word. And when his girlfriend came against what happened, when other people came against what happened and said it's weird, and he told me, he said, he was really battled. He said, but because of that, I know. See, I don't know exactly what's happening in my life at all. And I know I'm saved. And I don't understand everything yet. But one thing I know, one thing I do know, is that my back is better every day. Where I couldn't lift, I can lift. And I know I've been healed. And that I know. And when people came against him, he just said, no, you know me. And that I know. There's a God and a Satan, and God healed me. You see, the wind blew. Now, do you think that's all God wants to do? So that's a small miracle. I'll just say this in passing. Many of you have many testimonies of what Jesus has done. I'll give you one a few years ago. This is a cripple man. You say, uh-oh, cripples. But see, I believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. How about you? You know, I don't want to challenge you a bit, but do you really? When we know him, we're going to believe in miracles. And it's going to be his kingdom. And we know it's his power, and it can be his glory, and it's just fine. But this man, he's not with us right now, but he could not walk. And every time he stepped on his ankle, his ankle broke, and he was hit a mountain in a plane. And some of you know this. His wife is here. She was there after he got healed. And I went over to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this guy stayed up all night reading the Word of God, all night long. And this guy had more faith, you know, I mean, coming out of him than anybody I'd ever seen, really. When I walked in the door, I thought he'd get all of heaven, you know, all of glory, everything. He was just so full of faith. I mean, I didn't walk in with that kind of faith, but it was infectious. Immediately, that man was in that place, I figured, give him everything, you know, give him everything. But I didn't think about healing. And so I prayed for him. We talked a bit and talked a bit and talked a bit. Just kept preaching to one another and just, you know, reading the Word to one another. It was glorious. This guy was. So let's pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We prayed for him. He got filled instantly. He's just praising God and stuff. And this is a strange thing. To show you, the wind blows differently. Now, I've never tried to figure this one out. And it might not have been always of God, this particular thing. I don't know. Heaven will tell. But this thing came to me. He says, go get a bottle of oil and anoint him. And I said, that's for the elders of the church. First thing I said, this isn't right. And it just kept getting stronger. Go get a bottle of oil and anoint him. I said, oh, brother, man, it's not going to, you know, it's ridiculous. So I said, you got his olive oil anyway. I mean, he's got no olive oil or something, man. I mean, I was going through all this, you know. This guy's shouting, rejoicing, tears running down his face, worshiping God. I mean, he was really getting blessed. And I was feeling the Spirit of the Lord, you know. I was. But still, the thought, you know. So I said, all right. So I asked him, hey, brother, do you have any oil in the house? Somebody said, we get oil, no oil in the house. Then I'd know, you know. He said, I got some baby oil upstairs or something. I said, baby oil. I said, oh, how am I going to explain this away? You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be a fanatic. I got that kind of reputation, you know. Back then. So I said, well, you know. I said, all right, I just think I'll obey. And I said, I'll obey. I mean, it's strange, but the power of God was on me and the anointing was upon me. And I really was moved. So upstairs, I got the oil. And I came down. And I looked at him, and he looked at me, and I immediately had faith for healing. I just knew. I took that oil. I didn't think I was polite with it. I mean, I just doused that thing on him, you know. So, in the name of Jesus. And I prayed for him. I can feel his hip bones move. And I have a hearing problem, you know. I heard his ankle bones come together. I heard this guy come together. He said, I can walk. And he got up leaping. He said, I can walk. I can walk. I'm healed. I'm healed. His wife and unsaved daughter walk in the room at the same time. Walk in the room, just, screamed, you know. Sit down. Don't you know you can't walk? He goes, I'm healed. Gee, this guy was about 6'3", 240, you know. He's a big guy. You're healed. You know, maybe a little bit, I mean, he's big. real big, you know. But it's like, you know, she just looked at him, and the unsaved daughter's looking at him, like, you know, and he was just witnessing out the fact that he got healed. Jesus healed me, you know. And me, faithless, I mean, I couldn't believe it right at first, you know. I mean, it never happened to you. Pray for somebody, pray for it, hit a hip go in and bones, and we go, come on now. You know, I mean, headaches, colds, rheumatism maybe, but come on, you know. And this guy, you know, he sat back down, he goes, oh no, I'm healed. He sat back down again, and the thought came to me that he wouldn't get up again. It was a bluff, you know, or something, you know. See, I went through this, and you go through this. Isn't that right? Sure, sure. So what happened? What did he do? He got right back up again, you know, and back down again, and back up again, and he was healed. He was healed by God. Now, the wind blew differently. He had faith. This other fella, where's the faith? Don't think. See, God loves. It's not like, you believe, and I'll love you. But you know, a lot of us believe that, and a lot of us approach people that way. You believe. Just believe. Just believe. It's all in your believing. It is rooted and grounded in the mercy and compassion of Almighty God, who knows how to win a heart that is stubborn, stone, and all the rest. And he's not down there trying to, you know, we kind of get this out of our mind about who he is. He's not that way. Well, just believe and the Lord will. You know, sometimes, yeah. But sometimes God just, I love you. Believe now. I love you. Believe now. I love you. Believe now. I love you. It's not like I believe, you know, believe. You know, believe me. I mean, I'm so great. Read the word. He died for you. What do you expect? Others believe. Why don't you believe? That's not who God is. That's not all of who God is. You know the teaching about faith. You know the balance. But we need to know him fundamentally and foundationally, as he is the same as he was in the book of Genesis. Read it. Chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2, where it says that God hovered over the waste without form and void and the darkness. He was hovering in love. He was fluttering lovingly. He was moved with love. And then he moved upon that. It didn't do anything. Jesus healed 10. One said, thank you. He still healed the 9. Well, they're not thankless. God knows their hearts. But wait a minute. It's not their hearts or them. It's God so loves the world. God so loves the world. This thing begins with the Father. Jesus said in John 8:28, I do nothing of myself. I don't do anything of myself. But I know the Father. I know his heart. See, I know him. I know his love for you. See, I know it. See, I see him searching the countryside for the lost sheep, though he has 99. You see, I've been walking with him 30 years now, plus. And we commune. And I know how he feels about that lost sheep. I see him diligently looking in every nook and cranny, trying to find that sheep. I see him day and night looking all the time for your unsaved mother and father. All the time. See, we have been lied to think God is not doing a thing. But God works through men and women who know him. Men and women who know him and know his love. And the more we know him and his love, the more he'll be able to be the way he really is. Because we won't be blocking him. The devil won't be blocking us. Because we're going to be convinced, as the Son of Man was, of his Father. So the knowledge is God himself. See, he saw his Father going under the table through the church, trying to find one coin, sweeping with a light, looking all over for the coin. He didn't seem to sit in back so someone else will find it. He knew his Father and saw his Father doing that, trying to restore the image and likeness of God back on that coin, you. He saw the image and likeness lost, and he saw his Father trying to bring it back all the time. He sees his Father standing, and this is what God's doing right now. Right now. Standing outside the house in the night, looking over the horizon for the sun to come home. When we enter into a little bit of that kind of feeling, it breaks you right down to nothing. And it won't be any problem when you see some son who hasn't come home yet to walk up to him and just say, I love you, Jesus loves you, he wants you home. He wants you home. A lot of witnessing isn't going to be done with a lot of methods. Wisdom always helps, and knowledge is needed. But love, many waters cannot quench it. Many waters cannot quench the love of God. And it blows in ways that we hardly ever know. When we were at Bellevue Square, and I'm going to say this, it's a challenge. If we all knew Jesus, if every one of us really knew Jesus in that moment, and we had an opportunity for 15 minutes, among the lost, among the damned, among the dying and among the confused, and among the church folk, all in need of Him more. And if we were so lost in Him, and we just knew His heart and felt His heart, my feeling is, and my feeling will be, see, you say it's tomorrow, I don't. I believe in miracles today. My feeling is that miracles. My feeling is that there'll be music ministers standing up here when they, the Father, will look right through their eyes and see. And right in the middle of that, God's wind will just blow. And they'll yield to that Spirit of God moving. And it will go right out, that man. See, we say, well, they don't know. God will give words of knowledge. But they don't believe. God will give gifts of faith. But they don't know they're going to get healed. So God will give you the gift of faith. Well, they don't know. I mean, how are we going to do it? They don't know where they're at. Well, then God will give you a gift of prophecy. Why are the gifts of the church? Because it's the gifts, the giving of God that will win them and win you and win me. See, that's why it's needed. It's not so much on them. It's all beginning from Him, and it's through you and I. That's why He gives gifts. That's why He says seek them, because they need them. They need me. How do you expect a darkened, alienated from God, brainwashed, satanically influenced world out there and the end of time to believe your word? To believe there's a God. God sees and understands they're that way. I think God is more than willing. It is my conviction and belief right now to give Himself. Because that's what they need in any form. If you and I would know Him. If you and I knew He was that way, the wind can blow any time. That's the excitement in Christian living. That's the glory of the Christian life. The devil has robbed us from that revelation. God is always, that's why He's the God of hope and anticipation and expectation. Fill you. He's anticipating to do something. He's expecting to change. He knows He can influence and help and affect people. He's looking for somebody to yield. He'll do it without man, but through the descendants of Babylon, He'll move. Because He wants you to be one with Him in His heart. I think God will show us kindness and favor. I think music ministers will fall weeping under the power of God. Deliver the Spirit of God far beyond themselves, I hope. Of course. And God's Spirit will come upon people just out of nowhere. And the hug of God through the music ministers would be the hug of God for those people. God will hug those people through you. See, that's who God really is. He's behind, through. That's the way He is. He's always willing, all the time, to do these things. Always. Catherine Coleman sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. That everybody was saying, it's got to be your faith, it's got to be your faith, it's got to be your faith, and watch the broken bodies go home. One day when she was preaching about the Holy Spirit and God moving upon the earth, they began to get healed. And she said, the key is the presence of God. The key is God's power. The key is His love, His compassion, undeserved favor, grace, grace under the mountain. That's what Jesus did. You know, in the nighttime, He kept saying, graciousness, 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 graciousness under them. That's what He was doing. I love them. Father, You love them. You can't fool me. You love them. So when they threw them at His feet, He healed them all. They just threw them. They all have faith. He didn't even lecture them on their method. He just healed them all. I love you. I love you. Here. I love you. The children. Peter's mother-in-law. I love you. Believe. And many will believe, and they will be required to believe. They have to believe. They'll come in through faith. They'll see that, and they'll believe. How are you going to make people believe if they don't see anything to believe? Some people, somebody has got to believe. Why not you? Why not me? Why not Jesus? Why not somebody? Somebody's got to know He's good. Somebody's got to know that He cares. Somebody's got to know that demons shouldn't be bothering you day and night. Somebody's got to know there's a dominion. Somebody, right? Why not you? Are you tired of the devil running all over you? Dominion is in your hands. Why is it always His works? His manifestation of His power. Why isn't it 2/3 of the angels are with us? More than 1/3 of the angels that are against us. Why? The devil has hurt our thinking through the lack of the reality of the power of God, which God will use you and I, and those who will, to come into. Others. See, Jesus felt God's heart at Lazarus' tomb. When He stood at Lazarus' tomb, He felt God's heart. He knew the Father hovering over the deep. He saw God anticipating for the day He could bless and heal and love. He sees God yearning even now. And you know what was Christ's victory? What did the Father say? Rejoice with me! After every parable. And at the end of the book. And at the beginning of the book. Rejoice with me, the Father. For I have redeemed. I have healed. I've got my son back. I've healed, I've blessed, I've delivered. Rejoice with me. That's our joy. Oneness with the Son will reveal the Father. And this is the Father to you. He rejoices when they come back. Do you notice how we're robbed of rejoicing when He comes back? The soul comes back and we don't feel all that rejoice. We've been hurt by the enemy. And we've been hurt through these concepts. Now, I'm going to finish up by reading about one man who believed in miracles. Take a few minutes. And I believe this is the call of God to this church. I believe this is the call of God to this church in this hour. I really do. Let's just read Judges 6, verse 14. You can't believe God's not aching all the time. God's not weeping over you all the time. God loves you all the time. God's trying to find out a way to bless your life, heal you. God sees every tear, everything you go through. God hears them out there. Oh, He's always that way. He's always that way. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. Verse 14. After what? Verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all His miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? All of our obedience, all of our crying, all of our praying, all of our fasting, all of our works are not going to get us out of Egypt. But by miracle, you're going to be taken out of Egypt. And by a miracle, you're going to be delivered from the hands of Satan. And by a miracle, God's going to come upon your family. And by a miracle of His love and compassion, how else will we fall down at His feet and extol His beauty, His agreeableness? And when you and I are in that place, they flow a lot easier. Not when we're doing the works in obedience. You do that because you love Him. That's not the reason He moves. He moves because He is that way. And He moves when you know He'll move. And when you believe He's that way, He'll move. And when you're locked into that place, miracles take place. And the Spirit of God can come upon you anytime and in any way to love the world. 2 Kings 2, verse 14. This is what I'm going to briefly go through this chapter, and then we'll close. This is Elisha. And this is the call of God to some of you men. Some of you ministers. Some of us. You're an old man. You've walked in Pentecost when I was in drugs. You've been under the power of God when I was playing Little League baseball and sneaking cigarettes. You know? You saw God move in that day, and I wasn't even born. And you're not through. You think the devil said to you, you're through? You're not through. You've seen God. You've seen His power. You're here to be raised up again. You're not through. A man came to me today and said, I laughed when he said it. He said, I never met him before in my life. He said, you're from New York, huh? I said, yeah. He said, so when you leave here, you're going to go start a church in New York? And I said, I don't know if I'm ever leaving. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out and win some souls right now. I mean, work a little bit. I don't know. Maybe. He said, well, I need a church out there. I know they do. I said, well, maybe the Lord will put it up on my heart. Maybe put it on somebody's heart. But hey, He asked everyone here that question this morning. There's a church that needs to be built in New York, and a church that needs to be built in Pennsylvania, and a church that needs to be built in Asia, and a church that needs to be built in Greece, a church that needs to be built in Switzerland. There's a heart of God for the earth and for the church, and you have no purpose. You have a purpose, and ye are the people, and you are the man, and you are the woman, and you are the team, and you are the family. Let not the devil lie to you. Where is the love of God being poured out in the world? Why not us? Where's the mighty miracles that are taking place? Why not us? See, don't look at you. It's never going to be me anyway. You know that. It's God. It's His kingdom. It's His power. Just let Him have it. Let Him show it. Let Him save. Let Him heal. Many people say, where is my Lord? They have taken Him away, and I know not where they have laid Him. He's come back in salvation to baptize with the Holy Ghost. But where be His miracles? I do not know where they've laid the Lord Jesus Christ who performed the miracles. Where be the Lord and where have they taken Him? Find Him and bring them to Him. Bring Him to them. Let's look at the 2 Kings. In verse 14, we read, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Now, many preachers preach on that. And it's a real stirring type of message, you know. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? You know, but the truth of the matter is this. The truth is that Elijah was leaving, and Elijah knew him. And there were many other men of God, but they didn't know him quite that way. So when he left, God would leave, because they didn't know him. So what Elisha did, whose name is translated in one place, the God of supplication and the God of riches. The God of, with shoutings of grace, 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 and the God of riches. The crying out unto God and the bringing forth of His riches. So he knew, so he troubled himself like Jesus did at the tomb. Jesus stood in front of Lazarus' tomb and he troubled himself. He took it upon himself to get bothered about the whole thing. So he troubled himself. That's our part. You trouble yourself. That things are the way they are. You like the devil beating on your wife all the time? You like the devil beating on your husband all the time? You like seeing cripples all around you? You like seeing God's name being defamed? You like seeing the church not becoming one? We like seeing these things? Be troubled. Be bothered. Start there. It's not a pleasant emotion. And you question if it's real or not. But take it upon yourself and be bothered and talk to Him about it. It's the least we can do. It just might do something. You might end up like Savonarola. Why not? Who was Savonarola? Who is Catherine Coleman? And who is William Branham? But descendants of Babylon. And who are you? And who am I? We got to get out of this thing. It's God. Power belongeth unto God. Not unto man. So Elisha knew that if something wasn't done, the winds of God would not blow over Israel. He knew there would be no winds of God over Israel. And he knew God well enough to know that the normal state of affairs is God's winds and his miracles and his healing and his teaching and his power flowing in the land of Israel. He knew that. He saw it in Elijah's life, didn't he? Sure. Even when Elijah was reluctantly resisting him and saying, well, you know, I'm going to go here, you stay here. He said, no way. No way. I'm not going to be denied. I'm not going to let people die anymore. Lord, I'm bothered that people stay crippled. I'm bothered that your power isn't manifested so people can believe. So ministers can come here, truth. So walls can be broken down. So healing can take place. So we can have the unity of the Spirit and the unity of the faith. So that this vision can go forward. Lord, I'm troubled. I'm bothered. That's all he did. And he didn't quit when everybody else did. Did everybody else quit? So, sure, look at this, verse 3. And the sons of the prophets, no less, that were at Bethel, came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord has taken away thy master from thy head today? Don't you know there's going to be a mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the last days? Don't you know there's going to be a mighty vision, visitation of God's power, God's glory? There's a lot of rain coming. Don't you know about that? You know what he said? He said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. In other words, he knew that they weren't going to do anything about it. But to them it was theology. To them it was just something to know. But they were never going to be the vessels through whom God would bring it to pass. Because it was just enough for them just to know. So they wanted him to become like them. And that's where you got to be a little bit different and a different cut. You've got to be willing to be like Jesus. And separate ye yourself from that and say, hold ye your peace and go to your face and go to God in heaven and supplicate for the riches. You can't be looking at everybody else. Well, you know, God will raise up Lanny and God will raise up Mike and God, well, there's lots of ministers of healing, lots of this. We know so. There's a lot of people out there, friend. The devil's got a lot of power. I don't think one man's going to do very much. One man and him. Look at verse 5. This is important for a lot of you younger men of God and you old men. Don't ever lose that relationship that you had with God where you were willing to set yourself apart unto God. Don't think that all the Christianity you see around you maybe is the norm. But ye set yourselves apart unto the Lord with prayer. You know, and as they say, which you don't need to do, and with fasting, just to give the sense. They set themselves apart unto the Lord for God to move. And they waited upon God. And they weren't willing to become like the sons of the prophets. Okay, verse 5. Same thing. Now they were at Jericho. And every one of these places, I can't go into it, means something to us. It's a state of the church. But not today. Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said, stay. No way. He kept going on. Finally, it says, verse 7. And this is the way it'll be for every man. God called Branham alone 11 o'clock at night, and an angel came to him. Catherine Coleman was weeping before God in the fields, trying to find out what was going on. Jesus was spending all night with the Father. Things have not changed. Oh, the Bible says, go stand ye in the old, in the way, and seek ye the old paths. Seek ye the old paths. There's the old paths that never fade away, wherein dwelleth righteousness. The heart that seeks after God and goes after God, though many say, slow down and just rest and believe, but if you want something from your Father, you keep knocking and you keep asking and don't let the prayerlessness or the unbelief or the ignorance or the blackness of devils upon people's minds stop you. But rather, ye old men of Israel, who's been this way before, go ye back to the mourner's bench. Go ye back to the prayer room. Go ye back and wait upon your Father who spoke to you in secret many times. And ye young men of God who God has called a healing ministry, God's called you to apostolic work, God's called you to speak from heaven for him, God's called you to pastor a church, go ye the way of the fathers. Go ye the way of the old time men of God. Go ye the way of the new. Fall before God. Believe he's a certain God and don't quit until you're Israel. It's never changed and it never will change. And God will find a man, two, three. You might be the spark. You might be the catalyst. Through you, someone might believe, and he might go on to seek the Lord and become great in the Lord. Despise not the day of small things, as God told Zerubbabel. There are some brethren sitting right here. You haven't been up in this pulpit. You give maybe one or two testimonies. That is not the lot of your life. Like I talked to one of you right in Bellevue. God's not through with this man. God's got a call upon him. His life is not profitless. God's going to stir him up, and many like him. Play your part. Key phrases in this. Let's read verse 7. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets, outnumbered 50-1, went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. See, the rest of the men of God, they're watching this man of God. And he's going on with Elijah, like some men in this world now, you've been hearing about maybe, are going on with Christ. And they're standing at Jordan. And they're going to pay the full price. They're going to give off that God would visit Israel. And the other 50 are standing afar off, watching. Choose your company. It's in your hands and mine to trouble yourself. Choose your company, young man of God. The singing and the dancing and the rejoicing is wonderful. Do plenty of it. You can do it alone, too. I dance better alone, I think. I got more confidence in my dance. But I'll be up here, I'm sure. Key phrases. I will not leave thee. I'm not going to leave you. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you want to love this world. And I will not leave thee. I'm going to go after you and seek you and set my face and give my heart until it comes. That's the separation between the willing and the unwilling and the man and woman of God. Hold your peace when those try to talk you out of it and you feel demons come to resist you and pressures and circumstances say, come on, there's so many things that need to be done. Hold your peace. And the other one is, and they too went on. And they too stood by Jordan. And they too went over on dry ground. Just him and God. And just you and God. And sometimes we're looking to the other person and we're looking who is it going to be and you've got it figured out. You know, God's got it figured out and he wants to love the world through you. You see, in verse 14 it began an era of miracles. Because a man believed in miracles. More than the other prophets. And he wasn't content with just a good, selfish, good time with the Holy Ghost. I'm a firm believer that all the first and primary thing in life is to know God himself. Isn't that right? But when you know God himself, what are you going to know about him? I mean, what are you going to know about him? If he's just a blessing, or for you, he's at least a blessing for others. And if he's your healer, he's theirs. And if he's your deliverer, he's theirs. And it's God, not you anyway. And there are many of you out here today. And I've been feeling this a lot lately, things like this, you know. God's calling men in this hour. And some of you got wrapped up in the mundane, the devil's done a lot of things, and I know what that's like. And now in come the blame, just to remind you of the call. Just like some of you reminded me. When I was in my wilderness, my deserts, you know, I felt like God was all through with me. I didn't say I could do anything. Become a sweeper maybe or something. I mean, not even that. I despaired of everything at one point. I lost everything, I thought. Now, of course, you say, well, you should never have lost that. But I did. And I'm real. And I'm here. So you can be that way too. See, I love you. And you're just like me. And I'm just like you. And I know that. And we're just like one another. You know that? But he is in a class all by himself. So therefore, I know that he feels this way. And I know that he can feel this way anytime he wants. If you'd let him. And if I'd let him. Some of you need to rededicate your life to Christ and the call of God this morning. If you're satisfied in your life without miracles, you're an elder, you're satisfied with your life without miracles? We just mean healing, brother. God's not going to use everybody in healing. I mean miracles of the touch and the presence of God. I heard of a man who'd walk into a church, and if he'd walk into church, the whole church would worship God. He'd walk into the church, and such was the presence of God and the favor of God. For whatever reason, I know not. But the power of God would fall upon all the people, and they'd worship God. I know of men who've had visions from God. Mighty, mighty works of miracles as their hands just went to heaven. As they looked away from the masses, and they looked up to Him, the next scene was weeping and rejoicing, and tears, happiness, hugging, warmth, salvation, and deliverance. Many unbelievers were healed before they came to Christ in Kuhlman's ministry. Many unbelievers were healed in William Branham's ministry, and many of them were unbelieving when Jesus passed by. Not all of them were believing. Not all of them met every requirement. Not every one. Surely. But God in His love wins and draws the heart through compassion and pity and tenderness and works. And God is looking this morning for men and women who rededicate themselves and throw away the excuses. You have to ask yourself, can you trouble yourself for God? Can you trouble yourself for me? Can I trouble myself for you? You need to ask yourself those things. Are you willing to trouble yourself for God? You men, are you willing to set yourself apart and don't turn back and seek the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Jesus? Seek that God until He come again? How many of you men want to do that? Raise your hand. I mean, how many of you men feel God calling you? The devil's robbed you over these years. Don't be satisfied. See Brother Williams back there. I love Brother Williams. I always tell him God's going to make him a preacher. Not that I knew anything of the Lord, he's going to be a preacher. He loves the Lord, loves to tell people about the Lord. The devil gave him a run around, but God's not through with him. The devil gives a lot of us a run around, but God's not through with us. And you and I got to be good and outright mad and full of wrath and hatred at what Satan has done to rob us of miracles, of the presence of Almighty God, of the expectation, anticipation when we walk in the house of God in the Bethel of this day, and God does not come down in the way we really want Him to come down. I think that we need, if that be of the Lord this morning, that word repent, if that be of the Lord, I know not, I judge not, but if that be of the Lord, some of us need to repent. And maybe that's why it was said of it of the Lord. Because He said, repent, for there's a day coming and I will bring a visitation of My Spirit. But I am looking for those that will be willing and seek. I am looking for those who will let Me be the God of supplication and riches and cryings of grace, grace. Every mountain shall be made a plain. So I think maybe some of us need to repent. Especially the men. Because as we go, our women go. Do you know that? As a man goes, his woman goes. I mean, God does things. And your family goes. Whenever I move for God in any way, immediately God moves upon my family. Immediately. Really. Because God is really trying to love the world. And He's trying to use me and trying to use you. So that as soon as He can get anything done, he's just chomping at the bit. So I was just opening up this, time this morning just for those that feel the call of God upon your life. You want to rededicate your life. And you want to repent of unbelief before the Lord and say, God, I'm sorry. If you're that kind of a God, well, I'm just going to look to You. I'm just going to look to You. I'm going to believe You for miracles. And ask God to reveal Himself to you and pray until He does. So you just don't become a washed up, bone bleached chapelite in the wilderness of sin. And watch your brethren go on to the promised land. You know what? I'm going on to the promised land. Of course there's giants there. After the faith dies down, the giant stands up. There they stand up, all these giants. Tough. We have been given dominion and authority through Jesus Christ over sickness, sin, devils, and the works. And some of you out there saying, well, my healing hasn't come. I still have my arthritis. I still have this. I still have that. The Holy Spirit will heal us all. And He will heal us all. He's going to heal us all. The body's going to be whole. God will not have a crippled bride walking around this earth. But God wants us to move now. So I'd like to just close this morning just by inviting you to come to the altar and letting Jesus Christ do that work in your life. And don't be satisfied, because I believe in miracles. And they're in the Bible, and they're coming this way. As we close the service this morning with this song, we'd like to invite you to the altars if you feel challenged and stirred.
What I would like you to do is I would like you to believe that God has an intimate, loving, close relationship for you with Him. And Earl has preached that all this ministering and all this love is going to come out of our relationship with Him. As we know Him, then we're going to have a ministry. We're going to have His heart. We're going to be able to meet people's needs. We're going to know God. We're going to be able to minister God to them. And many people are wandering in a wilderness in their relationship with the Lord. And I'll tell you, one of the key things is just decide to believe that God is what He says He is. And then just treat Him that way. And when you pray, pray in confidence. Pray in faith. Worship Him. Love Him. Talk to Him. Experience Him all day long. Don't settle for anything less. A lot of the reason we're lacking the relationship with the Lord is we're not expecting one. We think it's difficult. Oh, it's so difficult to have a relationship with the Lord. If you think it is, it is. If you think that you can have one with Him and begin to develop it and just let it build and just share with Him and let your heart go out and just experience His love and give Him love, then that's what you'll have. And it won't take very long before you will experience the joy of it and the emotion of it, which so many people base everything on. But you will eventually even experience that. And it's not hard at all. And I challenge you to take this sermon as a vehicle to cause you to move into that relationship. This song will close the service, and we'll take this announcement.
Just one quick announcement. The music...